Good morning. If you would, go ahead and open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. It's Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Verse 6 says, "And it is impossible, and without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him." If I were to ask any of you what faith was, I would probably guess a lot of you would have quoted Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. That's kind of our go-to verse for what is faith. It's the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. It's believing without seeing. It's seeing the evidence of something and being convicted by what that evidence implies. We know what faith is, and I'm going to go out on a limb here, but most of us here this morning probably believe in God. That's why we're here. We believe in God. We have faith to some degree. But what I want to look at this morning really rests in what the second part of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 says. The verse says, "And without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him." Do we trust in God? Do we have that faith? We know who God is. We believe who God is. You know, we believe the Bible. We believe it's inspired. We believe that God created the earth. We believe that He brought the Israelites out of captivity and brought them through the wilderness, giving them food, giving them water, bringing them what they need. We believe in the prophets. We believe in Jesus, the miracles that He did. We believe in the Holy Spirit being given to the apostles. We believe in the inspiration of Scripture. We know who God is. We believe that God is. But do we believe that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him? Do we trust Him to be there for us? Do you know what a trust fall is? Raise your hand if you don't know what I mean when I say trust fall. All right. Pretty simple. Two people standing, one behind the other. The first one falls back into the arms of the other and trusts that the other will catch them. A lot of people do it, you know, just messing around for fun. I had to do it once when I was 17. I was at a summer camp between my junior and senior years. We had a high ropes course. And before we had to get on the course, we got our harnesses on, we got our helmets on. But before we got on the course, we all had to stand on about 4 foot high platform with our backs turned to 8 other people. They had their arms out like this. And we had to fall into their arms to trust that they'd catch us if we fell off the ropes. Scariest moment of my life. I'd known these people for about 4 days. I didn't trust them. But here I was. I wanted to do the course. I had to do the trust fall. I had to stand with my back to 8 people I didn't know, with their arms all stretched out like this, and hoping that when I fell, they would catch me. The thing about trust fall is, with your back turned to them, you don't see them there. You just have to hope they're ready. You have to hope they're not messing with you and don't move. You got to hope that they're strong enough to catch you. You got to hope that they're not distracted and look the other way about the time you fall. There's a lot of trust involved with this. That's why it's called a trust fall. But that's faith, isn't it? You don't see what's going on behind you, but you have faith that these people are going to catch you. Do we have that trust in God? We see God in the Bible. You know, all through the Bible, we see God being there for His people. We see Him working with His people, giving His people what they need to survive, blessing them. But sometimes it's hard to translate that into our lives. You know, do we see God working in my life? Do we see Him helping me out when I need help? Do we see Him being a rewarder of those who seek Him? Do we trust in God? Do we have that faith? Look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8. of all the people that are in the book of Hebrews here listed for their faith, we're going to talk about Abraham this morning. Because I think Abraham is one of the greatest examples of faith listed here. Because of the situation that he had, that he was in, and the things that God asked of him. Look in verse 8. It says, "By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out into a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going." Abraham didn't really have a clue what was going on. Look at Genesis chapter 12. Look at Genesis chapter 12 and starting in verse 1. You might want to keep your finger in Hebrews chapter 8. We're going to go back there all morning. Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. "Now the Lord said to Abram, 'Go from your country and from your kindred and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will bless, I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed.' So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran." Here we have Abraham, 75-year-old man. God calls him one day, says, "I need you to move. I'll make it worth your while. You're going to be a great nation. You're going to have the land for your nation to live in. Your seed is going to be countless. They're going to be like the stars, like the sand." And he says, "And through your descendants, the nations of the world will be blessed." Here's these three great promises God makes Abraham and says, "All you got to do is get up and move, and I'll tell you where you're going. I'll let you know when you get there." Obviously, that takes faith. That takes trust. And the thing that I don't want to draw a wrong conclusion here, but the thing that is kind of crazy to me about this situation is we don't know anything about Abraham's previous relationship with God. This is the first interaction we see with this. This is the first time we see God talking to Abraham, and it's a big thing. In the book of Joshua, we see that Abraham's father was an idol worshiper. So we know his family background was a family that didn't trust in God. And we don't really know where Abraham falls in that. Now, I assume, we obviously know that he believes in God from here on out. And I'm not trying to say Abraham was an idol worshiper. I'm saying we don't know. And for this to just happen, God to come down and or call out to him and say, "It's time to go." And Abraham just goes without asking any questions. That takes faith. That takes trust in God. And his faith was based in these promises which he didn't see fulfilled yet. God just says, "This will happen." And Abraham takes him on his word. Later on, earlier in Hebrews, not in chapter 11, but earlier on in Hebrews, the writer says that Abraham didn't see these promises fulfilled. They didn't become a great nation until they were in Egypt. So Abraham goes out into the wilderness, moves when God tells him to move, based on these promises that he never sees fulfilled. That's faith. That's trust in God. And that's trust resulting in obedience. Trust, faith that results in obedience. Look back in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 9. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Again, Abraham, out here in a land that's completely new to him. He's moved, he's left his home, and he's out here. His family is completely isolated. They're living with idol worshipers. They're living in nations that worship other gods. They're kind of the epitome of in the world but not of the world. Nobody around them believes the way they believe, has the faith that they have. And yet here's Abraham living a pure life. Here's Abraham following God, obeying God, living the way he's supposed to be living, even with the pressures of the world he was living in. And we see a couple times where the Bible gives us record of Abraham sinning, Abraham messing up, you know, when they go down to Egypt. The instance with Abimelech, where Abraham says, oh, she's not my wife, she's my sister, you know. But those instances are where Abraham's relying on himself, not on God. But when Abraham's acting through faith, which is the majority of the time, he's living a pure life. He's living the way he should be living. Even though he's living in tents, even though he's living among these other people. And it says that he's living, or it says that, verse 9, sorry, one more time. By faith he went to live in the land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. This whole time, he's living this way, looking forward to this promise of God, looking for this city, as the Hebrew writer calls it. He's looking forward to these promises, and that's what's getting him through, this faith that God will follow through for him. This is the faith of Abraham that not only leads him to obedience, but leads to living a pure life in the midst of struggle. Or in the midst of a sinful world. Look down in verse 17 of Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall be your offspring, or shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was even able to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By next verse is Isaac. I won't read that one. God has already asked Abraham to move. He's asked him to live a pure life in the middle of nowhere, surrounded by people that don't believe in the same God. But then he asks something exceptional. He asks something kind of mind-blowing. He asks him to offer up his only son. Again, God comes to Abraham and says, I need you to do something. He says, I need you to take Isaac up on the mountain, and I need you to sacrifice him. Put him on the altar and sacrifice him. And what is Abraham's response? No questions asked. I trust in you, God. We see in Hebrews that he was confident that God could bring him back from the dead. He says he acted on this in the midst of receiving the promises. Here's his firstborn, his heir, the son that the nation is going to be brought through. You know, he's 100 years old. God's starting to bring about this promise. He's giving him a descendant. And then as soon as he's got that descendant, God says, I'm taking him away now. I'll be honest, I wouldn't have had that kind of faith. I'd have said, what are you talking about? This doesn't work. How am I supposed to get these promises? You're taking my heir. But Abraham just says, okay, I know you're in control. I know you've got a plan. I trust in you. And so here we have Abraham, his faith, because he knows God has not let him down yet, and he's still looking forward to these promises, and he knows that God is going to follow through for him. So he's got faith, and he trusts. And that makes him able to offer the exceptional to God with no questions asked. So my question this morning is, do you have the faith of Abraham? Do you have that kind of trust in God? Do I have that kind of trust in God? When God calls us to follow him, do we obey? Or do we not believe? Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 13. But we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. To this he called you through our gospel, so that you may obtain the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's thankful that the Thessalonians received the call and answered the call. And he says, how did they receive the call? Through the gospel. We all have that call this morning. We all have the gospel in hand. Do we believe that? Or do we not believe it? Mark 16:16 says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. Do we have that faith of Abraham? Have we answered that call? God doesn't promise what life's going to give us once we answer that call. He doesn't promise that it's going to be an easy ride from here on out. Actually, Jesus promises us the exact opposite. He says, they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. We know it's going to be rough. But do we have faith in God to carry us through that? For those of us who've answered the call, when God calls us to live a pure life, when we're out in the world, when we're not in this building with our brothers and sisters, do we live that pure life? Do we rely on him for the strength to do so? Or do we, rely on our own strength, and then when we slip up, we make excuses as to, well, I'm only human. I'm weak. I'm not perfect. We're relying on ourselves. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Verse 1. Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. And look at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. We're in the same boat Abraham was in. We're living in a world that doesn't believe the way we believe, doesn't believe in the God we believe in. And we're called to live a pure life. We're called to follow God no matter what. Do we trust God to help us do that? Do we look forward to the promises of the inheritance that we have? Or do we falter under our own weakness and make excuses for it? And God called Abraham to, you know, offer the exceptional. And who's to say he's not going to ask that of us? You know, whether that's, you know, sacrificing extra time, extra money, maybe even sacrificing a career choice because you know one's going to be better for you spiritually or your work in the kingdom. It could be a number of things. Each one of us is different, and God works with each one of us differently. But when that comes, when we're given that particular call, are we going to be able to give and sacrifice exceptionally for God through our faith? Look at Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13 and verse 1. Now there were at the church in Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a member of the court of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them." Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. Here comes God again saying, "Paul, Barnabas, I've got a plan for you. I need you to do something." Paul and Barnabas they had a good thing going in Antioch. There was a good work going on. And they were helping that strong church. And God says, "All right, I need you to help other people. I need you to make that sacrifice. I need you to basically spend the rest of your life traveling around, going from church to church, spending 3 months here, 3 years there, whatever is needed, and working with Christians around the world." Paul and Barnabas were called to give something a lot bigger. Look at Luke chapter 18. Chapter 18 and verse 18. And a ruler asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except for God alone. You know the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and mother." And he said, "All these things I have kept from my youth." When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "One thing you still lack. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come follow me." But when he heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. The rich man followed the call. He'd obeyed the law. He was a good Jew. But when it came for Jesus to ask him to do something more, he didn't have the faith it took. He didn't have the trust it took. But he was called to give something bigger. Finally, look in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. "For I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Paul suffered a lot, and he's telling the Romans that they're going to suffer. And that translates down to us, that there will be times when we have to suffer. And Paul says, anything we suffer here, it can't be compared to the greatness of heaven, to the greatness of being in the presence of God. Keep your eye on the prize. Do what Abraham did and live your life focused on the promises of God having faith and trust that God's going to follow through for you. Don't get bogged down in the logistics of, well, if I do this, I'll only have this much money, or, this is my job, this is my lifestyle. I don't want to get rid of that. Have faith in God. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. Now, those things, he said, were clothes on your back and food on your table. But that's all we really need here, because our treasure is in heaven. We have to have faith that God's going to get us through here and get us there to a life with him. As the called of God, we're going to have to leave our comfort zones at some point. We're going to have to take a step out. We're going to have to face pressure in the way we live. We're going to have to make sacrifices. And we have to do all of these things by faith. We've got to follow in the steps of Abraham, of Abel, of Enoch, of Moses, and so many other people. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which clings closely. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated on the right hand of the throne of God. We have all these people, all these men and women of faith from the past, watching over us, watching down on us, testifying about our faith, witnessing the life that we live. And we have their example to look to. Now, do we have that faith? Will we live by that faith? Will we obey the calls of God? If you need to change your life, if you need to obey that call this morning, come forward as we stand and sing together.